Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate the tumult of this difficult life. Today, the saint we're relying on most is St. John Paul II through a recently published reflection called Givenness. And it's been had a huge effect on you and you're in your conversations with the women that you direct, you serve in spiritual direction. Mm-hmm. What's been, I don't know, the theme of, as we conclude this series, really either this show or the next, what's been really powerful for you in sharing with them?
Yeah. Well, one of the reflections that I've been making as we've been going through this beautiful, beautiful writing of St. John Paul II, which I cannot recommend enough. Needs to be read in adoration, I think, in order to let it sink into its depths. But is this the beauty of what he's describing, of what we are called to, what we've been made for, which is this oneness in one another as married couples, you know, spouse to one another, and then one with God. The importance of woman, of man, of marital love, of all of this is what I recognize in so many of the couples we've worked with my directees, especially those that are married. And it's this longing anguish to become fully who we're called to be.
It's wired in us.
It is wired in us. It's a desire. I mean, I'm even thinking about a movie you and I recently watched, which is Babette's Feast.
Yeah.
And at the end, she says, "Let me do my best. Let me give my best. Let me be completely who I'm called to be in my design."
But why? It's good. The context is important to that. She was a chef who was in the Second World War. And was her whole family was killed, and she was like a world-class chef in Paris, and her whole family is killed. She's exiled to this little Lutheran sect, and they just took her in, and she's Catholic, so she was I think they even referred to her as a papist or something, and so she was exiled, so her life was saved, and she would just live with them as a servant because she had nothing, and the Babette's Feast is the gratitude that poured out of her heart at the end for those who cared for her. And it was really quite extraordinary.
And it's truly, it's not only what she gave them at the feast, mm-hmm. It was the gift of herself. Mm-hmm. It was the fullness of who she was designed to be. And even at the last moment, one of the characters says, "Oh, how the angels are going to glory in you." Wow. It's so beautiful, right? And I see that so often in my directees, this desire to be fully who they're called to be. It's ingrained in us. It's in part of our design, right? And so John Paul II in his writing says he discovered this even before he became a priest. The call was already on his life. You know, he's working in a quarry, he's studying philosophy, and he's recognizing the Lord is going to send me many, many people of all kind of works of life. And he's not only going to entrust them to me, he's then going to task me with them, with their good, with loving and serving them. And that's the call in marriage that I think is the longing on every couple's heart. And they just don't know how to express it or how necessarily to live it out, but it's there. And I think that's so often the anguish and at the root of the discord and the breakdown in marriages is that reality isn't being lived out.
Yeah. So if I could frame it, that's, you know, beautifully said. So we have this longing, which is, you've used the word anguish. I would use the word ache, mm-hmm. You know, and it's a kind of an experience that can take you to total despair when the orientation of the quest for fulfillment is not designed by, constructed by God.
And it's not pure.
I'll give you a couple of examples. Porn, the use of porn in sexuality. So there's a drive in sexuality that is given to us by God to be united with the other in love and to know a love that transcends any kind of human, you know, just the purely human aspect of it. And then even as the mystics use that the perfect self-giving of husband and wife as the highest expression of the mystical union between us and God analogously. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're designed for. When sex is pursued as in a way that is disordered and base, which is rooted in the passions, not in the orientation of the heart and mind to God and the love of the other, it will never satisfy.
Never.
And it always harms both people.
Yes.
It'll never satisfy and always harms both. When union is pursued, which is different than the pursuit of sex, when union is pursued and the service and self-giving to the other, you come to get a glimpse of what it means to know union with God.
Yeah.
And it helps each person and it elevates each to heaven in a sense, and it draws you closer and deeper in love, and it satisfies.
Yes. And it's interesting that I've even heard it said, and I don't remember who said it, that a proper ordered sexual union between a man and a wife, the marital embrace, just complete giving to each other with the Lord in it, right, actually helps us to believe in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It draws our heart and minds to the eternal because it is beautiful. It's all, it becomes what it is truly supposed to be, right?
So yes, beautifully said. I want to go back to the disordered point and just to make sure we make some two important contrasts. Right. I think it's most common for men, because they're visual, to go to try to seek fulfillment in, making the sexual encounter more interesting or whatever they do in porn. Women, what is it that women pursue that's the opposite of the design, but it's in the flesh they pursue to find this satisfaction? I think it's control. I think that's the curse of Genesis.
Well, I think most women, we talk about this in just human formation, is that, men seek, they use love to get sex.
Uh-huh.
Women use sex to get love. They want to be loved, protected, yeah, seen. They want to be one. They actually have a more ordered design towards the marital union, I think, sometimes because of their openness. And they tend to convert first. But I want to read a quote from him from this last chapter that I think speaks to this.
Totus Tuus is chapter 5.
It's very, very important. And he says, I think that every man, whatever his station in life or his life's vocation, must at some point hear those words which Joseph of Nazareth once heard. Do not be afraid to take Mary to yourself. Do not be afraid to take means do everything to recognize that gift which she, your spouse, is for you. Fear only one thing, and this is to your point, fear only one thing, that you try to appropriate that gift, that you try
to control it,
own it,
or use
right?
it, yeah,
and use it. That is what you should fear, he says. As long as she remains a gift from God himself to you, you can safely rejoice in all that she is as that gift. What is more, you ought even to do everything you can to recognize that gift and to show her how unique a treasure she is. Perhaps God wills that it be you who is the one who tells her of this inestimable worth that she is, and her special beauty.
There was a
wow, that was incredible.
What's interesting is that was the beginning of our relationship.
Right, right. And do not be afraid of your predilection. Loving predilection at least can be participation in that internal predilection. If you have grounds to fear that you might become a destructive force, don't fear it in a prejudicial way. The fruits themselves will show whether your predilection is for the good. So basically, what he's saying is, don't control her. Don't try to own her.
And
don't use her.
Say
and
both.
Vice versa, yeah. Right? But he's speaking primarily of the gift of woman in the marriage. He is saying, man, you have a particular task here.
Yeah.
A particular task not to do this, right? Remind her of who she is and remind yourself of the extraordinary gift she is so that when you stand before God, you know, you will be,
you won't, because if you see her that way, you'll act
right
in accordance with that truth.
You talked about that. We talked about that in one of these episodes when you used to call me a daughter of the king. And I was I was flabbergasted by the term. I was like, why is he saying that to me? I couldn't even receive it. And when I asked you, why do you call me that? You said, because I'm going to have to stand before God for how I've treated you, for every moment that I have treated you less than what he desires.
What your dignity is worth.
Right. And which is exactly what he's talking about. He's saying, if you keep all of that in mind, if you keep in mind that she's God's gift to you, love her and serve her and remind her of who she is, because women need to be reminded all the time. You're a gift to me, right? You have a special beauty. You're beautiful to me, because the voice of the enemy inside the woman is, you're nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're broken. You're ugly. Mm-hmm. You know, you're to be rejected and abandoned and used and abused and forgotten. Believe me, the enemy goes after woman in a horrific way. And I do think there is a particular role for the man to protect woman, help her to remember that, protect her in the marriage so that she can become fully who she's gifted to be,
you know,
which is your helpmate, right?
The woman's design, we can talk about this more when we get back from the break. The woman's design to receive is a double-edged sword. She's designed and open to receive the good, but she's also more vulnerable to the destructive, to the painful, to the harsh, to the, you know, whatever it is that isn't kindness, gentleness, patience, and all of that.
Right.
So when we get back from the break, we'll continue on this series. We'll be right back. Hey, friends, this is Dan and Stephanie Burke. If this series has been moving to you, and the wisdom of John Paul II has drawn your heart to some kind of vision of a deeper possibility of a deeper relationship with your spouse and the Lord, we have a retreat that will take you there. It's called Divine Intimacy in Marriage. And whether your marriage is good, it can be great, or it's bad and needs to be healed and better, whatever the difficulties you have, pre-marriage even come. A lot of times the couples come, they'll send their kids who are engaged. It'll be a great experience to continue the wisdom that you've heard from this series.
Yeah, we've seen so much incredible fruit from it, and just really miracle after miracle after it by God's glory. So if you'd like to join us, you can head out to spiritualdirection.com/events for all of our events, but particular our Divine Intimacy in Marriage retreats. Our next one will be at St. Augustine Cathedral in downtown Tucson, Valentine's Day weekend in 2026. Come join us to make your marriage what it can be. Amen.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about walking through the wisdom of St. John Paul II's givenness, a recently published reflection on man and woman and marriage and design and what it means to know union with God. Before the break, I was noting that woman is designed to receive, therefore she's fundamentally, and I mean this isn't, it's universally true in design, not in experience, because some women, you go through abuse, some people close up and become very bitter and not receptive and all of that. But just fundamentally, women are designed to receive. And because of that, you know, guys can be critical of women, oh, you're too sensitive or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's really what you're saying is God's design is bad.
Right. You're defective.
You're mm-hmm. defective. But we have to understand that receptivity leads to all kinds of beauty that come from woman,
yeah.
beauty and self-sacrifice that every man desires. But you can't, you can't desire one part of that and not care for the other.
Right.
And be gentle, which is a big thing for me. I'll be honest. I mean, it's been in my rule of life now for years. And usually when I'm working on a virtue, I put it on my rule of life for a few months and then it goes away. And mm-hmm. the reason it goes away is because I don't need to check it anymore. But I am not by my, you know, I don't know, defective upbringing, my sin, whatever. I am not gentle by instinct. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of work for me, and I'm very intense. It requires a lot of work for me to try to protect you. So it's in my rule of life. It says gentle. It says chair and door. And those are just words that mean anticipate her needs. So when we're getting in the car, I could just go jump in and go get in. We're going, you know.
And you have at some point.
I have. And I've even told you, get out. Get out. You said we're going to be late, so get out. But it's the chair and the door are interesting kinds of behaviors that reflect what we're talking about here. They're anticipatory behaviors. It's a watching of your spouse and your loved one and seeing, oh, she's headed that way and she's going to have this need and I'm going to provide it for her.
Yes.
No, it's kind
it's
of
a disposition of heart that is very beautiful.
Right.
That is really, really important because I think, you know, as it, because what is it? What does that convey to me? You know, in reflection of what St. John Paul II says, he says, as long as she remains a gift from God himself to you, you can safely rejoice in her, right? You can rejoice in her. And so as when you go to open my door, when you go to pull out my chair, you are saying, you are a gift to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to care for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to nurture you. Yeah. I'm going to cherish you. And for me, knowing that that is so contrary to your normal disposition, it means all the more to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have to get used to receiving it. Because when you do it, I'm like, okay, well, I have to get used to the fact that you pull out my chair for me, that you open my door. I actually have to stop and let you open my door for me.
Right.
And so that is a disposition of the heart of, no, we mean more to each other than just two roommates.
Yeah.
Just two buddies,
yeah.
You know, with a shared bank account,
yeah.
You know, that happen to live in the same space. So I just think that's very important. Right.
And I, you know, when a guy acts this way toward his wife as well, you know, guys are always trying to figure out, I mean, there's all kinds of crass ways of saying it, how to be sexual with their wives. And what's crazy is that fundamental disposition results in the opposite of what your heart really wants,
mm-hmm.
which is that deeper union. It does include a physical, you know, grace,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the whole of it. And if that's all you pursue, it just is empty. But if you love your spouse and cherish her the way God has called you to,
mm-hmm.
then her receptivity is normal and natural.
Yeah. And I will tell you, 9 times out of 10, it's more open, right? Mm-hmm. And then the union itself takes on a supernatural union. And it's not something I speak about very often, but I've spoken about it with my spiritual director, because as you were writing one weekend, we went away for the weekend, I received a consolation within the marital embrace with you. And I was just like, what is that? Wow. You know, I had not experienced that before. It was surprising to me. And I, you know, so I'm praying and receiving my husband and loving you all at once. It's all turned into a prayer. And then there was this fruit of the writing of your book, Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits. And I was looking at that whole weekend in retrospect, now looking at the fruit of it and going, wow, the oneness of us in a properly ordered relationship, completely given over to each other, you know, meals, time, affection, the marital embrace, all of that produced a beautiful fruit. And in it, you wrote one of the most popular books that you've ever written. Most, and I would argue probably one of the most important books that you've ever written. And we teach on it all the time. It's core of our ministry. So it was an extraordinary moment for me to understand, oh, the Lord wants to be in all of our marriage. Mm. It's not like that part's over there in the corner somewhere where shame and brokenness and what the devil has said about the marital union and all that. It's not to be over there in some corner. It's to be all together. He wants to be involved in all of it to bring us and make us more one, to pour our grace, to pour his grace out upon us.
And to be clear, that did not come even in the first 5 years of marriage.
No.
Because it took a lot of healing, because both of us had sin, past patterns of sin,
brokenness.
And it's really, frankly, been between this a couple, you know, this is important as we're concluding this series, like what's opened the door for it. Studying John Paul II, understanding theology of the body with respect to the care of the other and the loving of the other.
In all of its aspects.
Right. You know? Mental prayer, which is conversational prayer with Jesus using the Gospels primarily, which I wrote Into the Deep is the book, and there's a film series about it. And in that, drawing near to God, and both of us doing that simultaneously, which is what we teach at the marriage retreat, Divine Intimacy Marriage Retreat, as we draw near to God in the interior, in our interior life, love increases in us because of his grace and presence. The other thing is huge is self-awareness increases in us.
Right.
Which then we begin to tackle our demons, our sins, our whatever.
We start to be purified.
Right. And the more you're purified as you come together, the more that in essence magnifies the grace.
The sacramental grace, right. The real sacramental grace in the marital union.
So which most people are not experiencing what we're talking about.
No.
And I want to encourage them. What's the pathway to freedom?
Yeah. Yeah. Because this can be. Doesn't matter where your marriage is. Doesn't matter where you start. This can be achieved with a proper order, you know, of getting the grace moving in your marriage.
Because so, both of us started as a complete mess.
Yes. Yes, we did. Yeah, we did. So I'd like to tie it back into the end of this chapter that I thought was really beautiful. And this was the one that made me cry as I was reading it. And he's talking about like where the phrase totus tuus came from. And it was from St. Louis de Montfort as he was doing his consecration. And he says, totus tuus became not so much just a phrase, but it became a plea, plea from his heart. And he says, it became a prayer that I remain pure. So this goes back to the purity of husband and wife and the marriage. And the more pure it is, the more sanctifying grace is flowing and producing fruit, right? Of all sorts. It is a prayer that I remain pure and thus be transparent to God and to all men, to all people. I pray that my vision, my hearing, my intellect remain pure, totus tuus. They all should be at the service, all of our, you know, our mind, our vision, our hearing, our intellect, our bodies, our love, our marriages should be at the service of revealing the beauty God has given to man, which is the desire of my heart, you know, for our marriage. I know it is for you as well. So he ends with this beautiful poem called Chopin's Piano. I was with you in those penultimate days of uncomprehended threads, complete as a myth, pale as dawn, when life's end whispered to its beginning. I will not play
recklessly with you. I will not play recklessly with you. No, I will hold you up. I will not play recklessly, he says. Not tussle. Not ruin. Not belittle. But raise up, praise, and magnify you. Totus tuus, all yours. This must for ourselves be a total gift, a disinterested, sincere gift in order to recognize in every man the gift that he is and to give thanks to the giver for the gift of the human person. So I will not play recklessly with you, Dan. I will not tussle. I will not ruin you. I will not belittle you. But it is my heart's desire to raise you up, to praise you, and to magnify you in a holy marriage. That's the desire of my heart.
So if this has been moving to you, encouraging to you, if it creates an ache in you for this kind of relationship, this kind of marriage, though, by the way, we're still working on it, you know, we haven't achieved it, but I know many people have had major breakthroughs at the Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat.
I'm certain that many of you that have listened to this long for more in your marriage. We recognize that. So I would encourage you to go to spiritualdirection.com/events. Come to one of our marriage retreats. Come enter into the work that we offer to help bring marriages to healing, to union, to oneness with the Lord. And we'll see you there. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.